I'm also not going to use this.
Oh. I will be using this later. I'm not going to be doing a Gandalf impersonation, just so you know. Sorry. Can people hear me okay? Is the sound? Yeah? Okay, good. Right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we reflect on these words in the book of Galatians, we pray that you open our hearts and minds to understand what it's all about and how to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you living freely? It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. But do you feel free? We've been looking at the book of Galatians. Don't worry if you can't read all the detail. I did send this around by email and WhatsApp for those who have signed up. But essentially, we've been going through the book of Galatians. And when we get to chapter 5, that verse, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free," is a kind of pivotal verse where Paul shifts his focus away from kind of talking about the law and kind of the true gospel to life transformed by the Holy Spirit. Freedom by living by the Holy Spirit. And next week, we're going to look specifically at the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But just to remind us, the gospel, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's all about what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We get freedom from our past, from our sins. We get freedom from death. We get life in all its fullness now, life in the Spirit. And we get the hope of eternity with Jesus as well. That's the gospel. But also we're part of a family because of that good news, because of what Jesus has done. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I got you to have some elastic bands and some string, and we looked at the difference between those two and how the kind of string represented the Jewish kind of understanding of the law, where everything had to be to the kind of finest detail, you know, making sure that they were tithing their herbs and spices, but actually neglecting the important things such as justice and mercy and love. And through Jesus, we become one family, one multi-ethnic, diverse family coming together. The Jews, the Gentiles, all one in Christ Jesus. And then we get to this bit that we've just looked at. So we're kind of continuing along that theme. We're going to look at a multi-ethnic family and find out why Paul is talking about them in terms of thinking about law and grace. So we've got Abraham's family. That you can read more about in the book of Genesis, particularly around Genesis 20:21, you hear this story. But before that, God had promised to Abraham that he was going to bless him with thousands and thousands of descendants, more numerous than the stars in the sky and the sands of grain on the ground. But Sarah, his wife, hadn't been able to conceive. And she was getting old, and actually this promise seemed quite far off. And so when Sarah, probably she would have been, let's say, in her 70s, 75 maybe, she said to Abraham, "Look, here's my slave Hagar, have a child with her, and then we can kind of have a family through her." So that's what they did, and so Ishmael was born. At that point, Abraham was about 86. But that wasn't God's plan. That's not God had promised that he would give them a family, not through this way, but through the Holy Spirit. And so later on, when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100, they gave birth to Isaac. That was the son of the promise. And so, just think in terms of two groups, slave and free. This is kind of what Paul's trying to get us to think about as a metaphor, slavery and freedom. And so you've got these two different kind of sides of the column, two women, Hagar, Sarah, slave and free, two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. One is doesn't get an inheritance, one inherits all, one born according to the flesh, one born according to the Spirit. And so kind of Hagar, Ishmael, they represent the law, which was given at Mount Sinai. So the Ten Commandments given at Mount Sinai through Moses. and all the rest of the law thereafter we get in the kind of first five books of the Bible. But on this side, we've got grace. We've got freedom. So Sarah, we've got Isaac. Isaac inherits everything, born by the Holy Spirit. And the covenant that Paul refers to is the new covenant that comes through the blood of Jesus. And we're taking communion later, so that might seem familiar words. These are the words that Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, and we say some of these in our communion prayer. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So this new covenant is given to us through the blood of Jesus on the cross, which we remember at Holy Communion. And no longer are we bound by the law, but instead it's all about grace. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul also writes, "He's made us as competent ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." The Pharisees were obsessed with the letter of the law, falling everything, trying to get everything down to the minutiae, the most detail possible, adding on extra rules and regulations so they wouldn't break the law. But if we try and live a life like that, it ultimately kills us because it's impossible. We can't follow all the laws. We're just not able to. Only Jesus was able to do that. Instead, what we're offered through Jesus is life in the Spirit. So this just kind of summarizes everything. So you've got law, you've got grace, the two different covenants here. Then you get two Jerusalems. It's like, what? There's two Jerusalems? Apparently so. There's one on earth that we obviously know about, and that kind of represents the law. And the kind of Jewish agitators that we talked about a few weeks ago, they were kind of based there. They were trying to enforce the law on the new Galatian Christians. And Paul was like, no, they need to live by the Spirit. And then you've got another Jerusalem, which is in heaven above. And actually, if you look at Revelation 20:21, it talks about a new Jerusalem coming down to earth, heaven coming to earth when Jesus returns. And so that is represented, that represents grace. So then where do we stand? How does this, what does this mean for us? So in terms of the law, it's fulfilled essentially through that one command that we heard in verse 14, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Jesus kind of said that as well, but also had two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. So really that's our approach to the law. We don't have to worry about trying to make sure we're doing every single little thing that's in the Old Testament. And then in terms of how does that look like in terms of grace? Well, we're children of the promise. We get to inherit everything because of faith in Jesus. We're set free from the law. We're heirs of God. I'll just let pause on that just because that's quite a lot to take in. But okay, that is the last table you get to see today, so don't worry. But Paul takes that information and then he applies it further. So he says Ishmael, who would have been about 14, was picking on his younger brother Isaac, who would have been basically a baby or a toddler. And so Sarah gets upset about that. She says to Abraham, send him away. Send Hagar away as well, so they don't get to share in the inheritance. And so they are sent away. They end up in a desert. God provides a well for them, and they set up he marries someone from Egypt and they start a family and so on. So God provides for them. But then Paul goes on to say that the Galatian Christians who are trying to live by the Spirit were being agitated by the Jewish-based agitators wanting them to live by the law. So they're like, the Jewish-based agitators were basically like Ishmael. They are trying to put people into slavery. They're picking the younger brother. And instead Paul says, no, you get to live by grace, you get to live by the Spirit. And then that conclusion, verse 31, therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. We get the promised inheritance, we get to live in the freedom of the Spirit, not slavery to the law. Okay, theology bit over. Let's do some look at some other things in a slightly different way. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What's a yoke? We're not talking about an egg yolk here. A yoke looks like this. This kind of wooden thing here attaching two kind of oxen together. They would plough a field together. And normally you'd have an older one who would be the kind of leader and pull the younger one with them. So they would kind of work together to plough the field. And we might have yokes in our life. There might be people that we are kind of attached to that kind of pull us along. Maybe it's in our workplace and we're kind of get pulled along by the kind of crazy schedule in our work environment, or maybe in our home environment or other environments. But actually, Jesus talks about a different kind of yoke. And in Bible times, every rabbi had a yoke. And essentially, it's a Hebrew idiom for the set of teachings of the rabbi, how they read scripture, how they would interpret that, how they would help us apply it to our lives to be good humans in God's world. And then we get the verse, the gospel reading we had up, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. So if we imagine this is the yoke of Jesus, Jesus says, take my yoke. So throw off any other yokes you've been carrying around or pulling you along. Take my yoke and learn from me. Walk along with Jesus, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus asks us to walk alongside him, to take up our cross and follow him. John Mark Comer, in his book Following the Way of Christ, Practicing the Way of Christ, he says it's basically about being an apprentice to Jesus, learning from him, being his disciple, which basically meant being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing the things that Jesus did. So Jesus says, come as you are. Come as you are. We don't need to have everything worked out before we come to Jesus. We just come as we are. And Jesus will sort of things out in our life, day by day, helping us gradually become more like him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will give you rest. In verse 6 of our reading from Galatians 5, Paul says, for in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love. The Jewish agitators saying you've got to get circumcised. That's what happens when you become a Jew. That's what happens when you're born a Jew. This is part of God's law. We've got to do that. And Paul's saying, no, they don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to abide by those rules. All we need is Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. God shows his love for us through Jesus, and he asks us to live a life of love through Jesus. Faith in Jesus is about loving God and loving others. That's the, you know, the greatest commandments we're told to do. That's it. The rest is detail. So, come as you are. But sometimes, when we're going along and we're walking with Jesus, things can happen. We're walking along, and then we trip up. Or someone walks in front of us, ooh! And that throws us off, doesn't it? bit like the ice skaters in the Winter Olympics, if you saw any of that. Most races, there wasn't many people standing by the end because some will cut in and then they fall off and they go flying. And Paul says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? And the truth is about Jesus. It's about living a life of grace. It's not about obeying all these rules and regulations. So Paul here is warning us against compromise. He's warning us against distractions that can kind of take us one way or the other. For you, there'll be different things. Maybe it might be social media. It might be, different people that you know. It might just be the busyness of life and work. But sometimes they can kind of get in the way of trying to live freely in Christ. So what does it mean to live freely? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom comes when we invite the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, when we hand the steering wheel over to God and stop trying to steer our own lives. That is what freedom in Christ looks like. And next week we're going to hear specifically about the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that is what it means to take on the yoke of Jesus. If we follow Jesus, if we allow him to guide us, then we can have a life full of these fruits. That's what life in the Spirit looks like. So, are you living freely? It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus invites us to come as we are, to take his yoke, and to live in the freedom of the Spirit. And so what we're going to do now, we're just going to have a time of quiet prayer, and I invite you, if you want to join in this prayer, it's going to be a very simple prayer, it's on the screen, that's it, that's all I'm going to say. If you want to join in that prayer, I just invite you to close your eyes, hold out your hands, and then we'll just have some silence and just allow the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, help us each day to come as we are, take on your yoke and live in the freedom of your spirit. Amen. We're going to continue by singing now.